pleasure to be here. I hate I don't have my sidekick with me today, though, and he hated that he couldn't be here. Tell you, he's been a blessing in my life, knowing Donnie. He's a good-hearted, good Christian man, loves the Lord, and I miss him when he can't be with me. But I want to start out with a song here. Wes, I know we miss your mom. I was singing by her this morning and the service we had down at Coolwater. And I lost my mother 30 years ago this year. And she's still with me every day. And I know that I am where I am today because of her. And so I just want to start out with this little song that it came to my mind this morning. I was getting ready, and so I just think it's meant for me to sing this song this morning. So. As a child, I thought my mom could walk on water. Others had their heroes, she was mine. She never traveled far for gain or honor, but she could reach the throne of God at any time. Lord, tell my mama tonight her prayers were answered when the angels were rejoicing. It was for me. From the path of sin, my soul has been delivered. Please tell mama, by her prayers, I now am free. Each passing day, she prayed I'd find salvation. But a Christian way just never fit my style. Since she made it home, I know that she's been waiting. Wish I could see her face when she gets the news tonight. Lord, tell my mama tonight her prayers were answered when the angels were rejoicing. It was for me. From the path of sin, my soul has been delivered. Please tell mama, by her prayers, I now am free. Please tell mama, by her prayers, I now am free. Yeah, I know when I left home and went into the service, I know my mother prayed for me every night while I was gone, and I think that it's thanks to her that where I am today. So, everybody, remember your mothers, because they're always praying for you. I'm going to tell you. I've faced a mountain I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while. Lord, please hear my prayer. I need your light I never have before.
Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. This I will admit, brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe.
I thought, number one, would surely be me. Thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't
even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees where I learned to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think that I'll make Jesus my all. From now on, when I'm in trouble, on Him I'm gonna call. If I didn't trust Him, I'd be less than a man. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees will I learn to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Yes, down on my knees I learned to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
This song, and it's "How Great Is Our God."
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Now age to age He stands, and time is in His hand. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Name above all names, praise. My heart will sing how great. God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
I don't know, Mark. It's kind of hard for you to get down there and not sing drinking from your saucer, buddy. Okay. That's his trademark song and one of my favorites. So, oh, man. Okay, I was supposed to say, yeah, we can't let him leave without singing that song. Thank y'all for being here this morning. And as we go to God's Word, we want to look at John chapter 11. We went back to Gospel of John. I've been preaching through that, and we had several things going on, and we've preached some sermons from different places, and we're going back as we get ready to Easter. John chapter 12, I might have said 11, I was looking at 11, sometimes my eyes deceive me, but we're going to be looking at chapter 12. I preached out of chapter 11 last week. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. This is a familiar story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but I hope we can this morning see some truths here that we might overlook sometimes as we head into the Easter season. If you will, follow along with me. I'm going to read through this text and pray, and then we'll jump into the message. John chapter 12, verse 1 says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of costly perfume, very costly perfume, of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore, Jesus said, let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but because they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in him. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, this morning as we look at this text, Lord, help us prepare for Easter. But Lord, let us remember that Easter is not something that just happens in the springtime. Easter is about the resurrection life that you've given everyone that believes in you. That every day we live in the resurrection power of Christ, and every day we've been reconciled to our holy and eternal God, and every day we can serve you, anoint you, worship you, testify about you, and live before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, I was thinking about this as I was looking through this text again. We preach it all the time, and it's kind of always the same story. My question is, how do y'all smell? Huh? So look at the person beside you and go, amen? In the Bible, when we talk about smell, I want to just give you something so you understand. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I'll never again curse the ground on account of man. Here's what happened. Man had become so wicked that God sent a flood among the earth and wiped out everybody but eight people that trusted in him. Noah preached for 120 years and nobody believed him until they got on the ark and shut the door and the water came. And afterwards, God told him to do a sacrifice. All through human history, since Adam and Eve, there's always had to be a sacrifice for the covering of sin. A lot of people now think it's barbaric, it's Old Testament, you didn't have to do it, but there's always been the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The Bible teaches that the blood is the life. In other words, in our life, it is blood that gives us life. If you sin against an eternal God, then there's a consequence. It's death. And God prepared a way through his grace and mercy that all through the Old Testament there could be sacrifices made according to God's design. And when they offered these on the altar and cooked them up and the smell went up, the Bible says it's kind of an illustration. It was a sweet aroma in God's nose. In other words, that means God accepted that sacrifice. Is what the scripture's talking about. In 2 Corinthians, in the New Testament, we understand that these old sacrifices have been replaced by a perfect sacrifice who is Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing towards the cross. It's pointing towards Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, these are all they call types. In other words, these are things so we could understand what Christ was going to do for us. Christ was the perfect sacrifice, and he died in our place, and the scripture tells us that it was a sweet and pleasing aroma to God, the sacrifice Christ made for it. Paul writes, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us this sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we were a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Guess who? Jesus, not us. Amen? The point is, we can't save ourselves. In Ephesians 5:2, Paul says, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So this is where I kind of wanted to zero in on this one verse in this text to help us understand what's going on here. How do you smell to God? When we come to church to worship, have you ever thought about that? When you leave here, was God pleased with you? I'd said this before. I was taking a preaching class one time, and we had to evaluate each other, and, you know, not really to tear each other apart, but really to help us be better preachers so y'all don't fall asleep. Amen? Y'all got me? And I'll never forget my professor. He said, now, here's what I want y'all to remember. No matter what grade you get, here's what I want you to do every time you preach. I want you to imagine Jesus Christ sitting on the back row of the church. And when you finish, will Jesus give you a thumbs up for everything you said about him? When we come in here to worship and to sing and to pray, my question is, are you worried about what type of song it is? Are you worried about, Lord, this is true and we just praise in you? Is God pleased with your worship? So as we look at this text, I want you to remember that sitting at Jesus' feet makes you smell sweet. Say that. Sitting at Jesus' feet makes you smell sweet, right? Don't y'all all want to smell sweet? Huh? So here's what happens. If we're looking at this text, there's a lot going on, and it's building from chapter 11 as the end of Jesus doing his signs until the resurrection. And here we get to chapter 12, and Jesus has moved back out of the public eye, so to speak, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're plotting to kill Jesus to get him out of the way because they're about to lose their position, their power, because more people's believing in Jesus instead of coming to them, and they're upset. And so as we see this, we see here that Martha is serving. We see Mary is anointing. Lazarus is reclining. Judas is complaining, and we see the chief priest are plotting, right? This is what's going on. Guess what? They're having church. Amen. You ever been to church? There's always something going on. Y'all didn't know that, did you? I bet y'all thought when you come to church, everything's good, ain't it? It's something always going on. Here's what's going on. It said, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, this is probably Saturday night on the Jewish calendar, after dark when the Sabbath is over. So, a week before or 6 days before the Passover and for the Day of Atonement, and Martha and Mary and Lazarus and all the Jews had practiced the Sabbath. In other words, that's a day of rest. You can rest in the Lord, and you can read his word, you can study, you can contemplate him, you can kind of put the business of the week behind. Now, we practice the Lord's Day now, but the Sabbath, the idea of the Sabbath or the purpose of the Sabbath is still in effect. Did y'all know today when you come to church that you can leave your work, your house, your kids, everything alone for an hour and worship God? And guess what? Did you know God could run the whole world without y'all today? That's the point of the Sabbath, resting in the Lord. Lord, you'll take care of this. Lord, I'm just going to come rest. I'm going to come recharge my batteries. I'm going to come hit reset. I'm going to come start over. I think because this is coming right off the Sabbath, you're getting ready for the Passover. They're getting ready to celebrate not only the Passover, but the Day of Atonement. We talked about that last week. As they're getting ready for that, Mary and Martha's mind is set on Jesus, who just raised their brother from the dead. They are focused. They're thinking about this. And as they are thinking about this, look what happens. It says that they gave him a supper. This supper is to honor Jesus. Jesus did something great for them, so they want to honor him. Now, we all do that. You know, if God does something and we know he's really blessed us, you know, we really do want to go to church. We really want to do this. I'm going to do, you know, I used to make a lot of promises. Lord, I'm going to do this, this, and this. You know, and it goes pretty good for a little while, and then you start falling back, right? Here they're focusing on Jesus. They want to give him this meal of honor. And I want you to think about the smells here now. Think about Martha. She's a cooking, right? We know from chapter 9 in Luke's gospel that when they had Jesus over at the house, chapter 10, I'm sorry, the last time, that Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not even care that my sister has left me to do all this by myself? Now, just picture this. The last time Jesus was at their house before he raised Lazarus, Martha was so busy trying to do everything that she thought would make Jesus proud that she got upset because Mary wasn't helping her. Now look what happened. Her attitude's changed. Why? I think it's because she's been at Jesus' feet too. You know, when we sit at Jesus' feet, that means when we humble ourselves before Jesus and say, you know, Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Our attitude starts to get a little sweet. Can you imagine this? Think about this house. Jesus walks in. Can you smell it? I smell cornbread. Little meatloaf in the oven. Little black-eyed peas. Little Texas Pete already open on the table. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Huh? Now think about it. This is a real meal. They fixing the feast. And Martha is lifting up the she's filled the whole house with the smell of her service. Here's why I wanted to bring that up. Sometimes we think just because we're doing something that we think needs to be done in church, we look at other people and think they're not worshiping God because they're not doing our things our way. In just a few chapters here, it says that they was wanting to please man instead of God. Don't ever ask somebody to please you. Ask them to please God. Did you know whatever you do, whether it's cooking, whether it's working on cars, building houses, doing the logistics for a trucking company, I mean, it's so many things that we all do, protecting our citizens, whatever is going on, did you know that God uses that? And did you know that the Bible teaches in Genesis that work is worship? My daddy always told me, son, nobody will never remember all the good houses you build, but they'll never forget a bad one. If you don't ever make no money, you make sure the Thomas name is always with good building. Same way with serving Jesus. It don't matter what we're doing, long as we serve him. Martha has stopped complaining, and here she just wants to smell up the house. That sure smells good. Is that for me? No, Lazarus, this is for Jesus. Amen? Now look here, what happens? She made a supper. She's serving. Lazarus is reclining at the table. Now, if I've just been raised from the dead, and Jesus is the one that raised me from the dead, I can tell you what happened. If Jesus was walking down the hall and stopped, I'd run into him. Right? I'd be sticking to him like glue. Same thing when you get saved. I remember what I was before I got saved. Once I got saved, I didn't have to ask if I was saved because I knew that I needed to stay close to Jesus if I was going to stay clean. And I asked Jesus, no matter what, just don't turn me loose if you have to take me to heaven. And you tell me about your mama's prayers answered, you will not believe how many people come through. I might have said this in church last Sunday, but come through the line, and one person had called my brother to give condolences and said, do you know whatever happened to your brother? What is he doing? And my brother said, he's a preacher now. And they said, well, always knew that boy would be a preacher. My brother said, well, I wish you'd told me and Mona his wife, because we sure didn't. And then some more people's coming through the line, and one by one these ladies come by and said, you'll never know how many hours we met in your mama's house and prayed for you to return, to surrender to the Lord. I'm not talking about one person. I'm talking about person after person. And then here comes Miss Sylvia. And she started telling me, I said, no, Miss Sylvia, all them prayed for me. The Lord sent you to get me by the neck, by the back of the neck, because Miss Sylvia come and got me. I never had nobody just tell me, you wrong, boy, pointing in my face. But my point with that is that when we get saved and we realize where we come from and the grace of God towards us, we want to be with him. Lazarus was reclining or resting at the table. The meal's being made for Jesus. It's a time of honor. And this is his testimony. Think about this. When we get saved, we got a testimony. We're alive. How does people know I'm alive? Because I'm still going to church. I've had plenty of people tell me that they thought, well, we figured this would be a phase and it would go away. Well, thanks be to God, it's not a phase. Since 1994, the Lord has helped me close. And that's a testimony for people. Just like Lazarus, we got to stay close to Jesus. But let me move on because we're running out of time here. Then Mary took a pound of very costly perfume, which is about 12 ounces in Roman calculations of pure nard. This is important because nard is a spice that come from India, and a lot of times what they would do is grind up some of the root, put the root in with it to what? Make the weight go up. You know, kind of like when y'all was young and selling turnip salad. How many of y'all ever put ice in it so that it would weigh more and then melt and you wouldn't get caught? Huh? I had a man tell me one time, I used to put rocks. I kept getting caught. Somebody told me use ice. It melts. I told him, I said, I'm pretty sure that's borderline sin there, brother. Amen? I think about that every time I think about this. It says pure. In other words, this didn't have anything added to it. It was very costly. It actually cost 300 denarii, which is plural for denarius. Denarius was a day's pay. 300. This is a whole year's salary worth of perfume. And here it says that she took it and anointed Jesus' feet with it and wiped his feet with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. Now, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, Mark tells us that she did more than that. She actually come up and said, anointed his head with that. And you say, well, is the Bible contradicting yourself? No. I believe she took this 12 ounces of perfume and anointed Jesus' head after she broke this alabaster jar and poured it on him. It is going all over Jesus. She sees it and it's dripping off his feet. Instead of wasting any of it, she gets down on her knees. And in this culture, in the Jewish culture, a woman did not let her hair down except for in front of her husband. Yet she unbridled her hair. She let it down and wiped Jesus' feet to rub on him. And this fragrance filled the whole house. Now, this is just one verse that tells us what Mary done. But now, five verses tell us what Judas done. Judas says, why did y'all do this? Matthew, Mark's gospel says that the disciples said this. Mark says one of them said this. And here he says, look, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now, John is looking back because it says here in just a few chapters, in a few verses, paragraphs, that the disciples didn't understand all of this till when? Till Jesus was glorified, until he was resurrected, and they started understanding what Jesus has taught them. I mean, haven't you ever done anything? It's a whole lot easier to look back to last year and say, I should have done this, than it was to do it then. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It's called hindsight. John tells us, now looking back at this, because John is writing so that we'll believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He gives us seven miracles and seven sayings so we'll understand this. And he says this about Judas, because Jesus in chapter 6 has already said that one of y'all sitting here with me will betray me. And here he says, look, here's the reason he said this. He didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about the spending bill and all this stuff he told you it was going to. He had an ulterior motive. It was all about himself. He was selfish. He said that here he didn't care about the poor, but he was a thief. This is the only place in the New Testament that tells us Judas was a thief. We know that he was a scoundrel. We know that he betrayed or handed Jesus over to the authorities. But here it says he's a thief. The whole time Jesus entrusted him with all the money box and the money from the disciples and the money to take care of the ministry, he's just taking out what he wants. So it says here, he wanted to criticize. Now here's a little rule of thumb or a principle you can learn. If you do any ministry, I ain't talking about a pastor. If you're a Christian, you're in ministry. The person that complains or criticizes the most is the one that's doing the least for Jesus. Somebody asked me one time, how do you know you was called to be a preacher? I said, because I'm still doing it. It's the toughest job I've ever had. I said, if it wasn't for God's grace and God's help, you couldn't be a pastor. Why? Because no matter what you do, somebody is unhappy. And most of the time, the people that's unhappy are the people that's not doing nothing for Jesus. The people that are really doing something for Jesus all the time, I feel bad because I don't spend enough time with them because you never hear anything from them. Because they're busy doing Jesus' stuff. That's the ones we have to sometimes just stop. Remember, I need to go see so-and-so or I need to go visit them. And here, Judas is complaining, but he goes ahead and prepares us for what's ahead when he will sell Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Mary took a year's pay to worship Jesus. Judas took a month's pay to betray Jesus. You see what's happening here? Now, it says that the fragrance of Mary's worship filled the house. Can you smell it? Cornbread, baked potato, all this stuff going on, this perfume. Everybody's worshiping Jesus. Ain't it good to be worshiping? Everybody's worshiping Jesus, and it says that it filled the house. Now, Jesus says this, and there's a lot of different interpretations, but we really don't know. John doesn't exactly tell us why Jesus said this. Was she thinking this in her mind? Was she prophesying ahead of time? We're not sure. But look what Jesus said here in verse 7. He rebukes Judas and everybody that's thinking the same thing, because Mark and Matthew say that some others thought this too. Let her alone. In other words, leave her alone. Stop criticizing her. Stop complaining about what she's done. He says, you'll always have the poor, but you do not always have me, in verse 8. Verse 7, he says, leave her alone so that she may keep this for the day of my burial. Did she have that for Jesus' burial, that's going to happen in a week? I don't think so. I think she'd been saving it for a special occasion. Her brother had just been raised from the dead. She's been listening to everything Jesus says. She's just been through the Sabbath, reading Scripture, praying to God, just sitting still, listening to God to speak through His Word. And she realizes how much her salvation is going to cost. That's why she gave her most expensive gift to Jesus, to show her love to Him. And when Jesus says, let her keep this for my burial, what he's talking about is she's poured this all over him. My wife used to want me to try on cologne, and she'd say, try this, right? And then all of a sudden, all I could smell was everything, and I'd be almost, and then you couldn't get rid of it, right, till you got home when you left the store. Think about it. This is pure nard poured all over Jesus' body. When Jesus enters Jerusalem and they hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus is still smelling Mary's worship. When Jesus is giving his discourse to the disciples, he still smells Mary's worship. When Jesus is tried, he's still smelling Mary's worship. When Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he's still smelling Mary's worship. When he says, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit, and he bowed his head and says, it is finished, he's still smelling Mary's worship. My question is, why don't we want to smell good for Jesus every minute of our life? Because life is that simple. Either you know how much Jesus loved you and you love him enough to let others see what he's done in your life, or you need to know him. Let us bow our heads. If you're here this morning, the most important question you can ever answer is about your relationship with Jesus. Have you ever admitted that you're a sinner? Ask Jesus to forgive you. And you know that you're saved and you're going to heaven. If you don't, life is this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've not lived life your way. I believe Jesus come to this earth, lived the life I should have lived. I believe Jesus died in my place, the death I deserved. Lord Jesus, please forgive me and take control of my new life. If you prayed that this morning, raise your hand. Amen. 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 If you said that prayer and meant it with all your heart, then you're forgiven and you've got a new life and a new life of worship. My question for us who've been Christians for a long time is, how does your worship smell to Jesus? Does he just smell it on Sunday morning? Or when you leave and go out from here, does people know that you've been with Jesus? Can they still smell worship on you? During the week, is God pleased with what you say, what you do? You know, the Bible tells us whatever we do in word or deed, or whether we eat or drink, do all things to the glory of God. Is your life a sweet aroma to God? If not, this morning, just say, Lord, help my worship leave with me today. Everywhere I walk, may people see me worship you with the life you gave me. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I've sown. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches, sometime the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. And I thank God for all His blessings on me, and the mercy He's bestowed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some storms. And yes, there were times I know when my faith, well, it got a little thin. But it seemed like all at once, those dark clouds broke, and that old sun started shining again. So Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I've hoed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets deep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy, oh Lord, to help another bear their load. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed.
Yes, it has. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. I want to thank everyone for coming today, and I appreciate you being here. And the offering buckets are in the front and the back here, and thank you for that. We should already have probably started passing offering plate. We got out of doing that during COVID, but things has calmed down now, and we'll get started back with that. If y'all need anything this week, please give me a call, and I'll be praying for all of y'all. Thank you for being here today, and y'all just have a blessed and wonderful week. Next Sunday, we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper, so be preparing for that. We're going to do the Lord's Supper as we continue to move forward into the Easter season. Don't forget Wednesday night, Pastor James will be teaching our Bible study Wednesday night, 6:30, Fellowship Hall. Great study on the end times. He got handouts he can give you. If you've not been yet, feel free to come. It's not a closed lesson. You can just jump in feet first right where you're at, and you'll enjoy it. So we're having a blast. So y'all be sure and come. Anything before we close? Amen. Thank you all the visitors for being here, and I'm going to ask Pastor James if he'll close us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we bow before you, we praise you. We praise you for this message. We praise you for understanding that worship is so important to us day by day. We praise you, Father, for your blessings to us. We're sitting here with freedom, rejoicing with our families, and we have all this to be thankful for. We pray for those people far, far away, but yet near in our hearts. They've left everything. They've lost everything. They've scattered. They're in faraway countries, away from their homeland. Many of them have already lost their lives, and we pray for them. We ask that you would touch, protect, bless, and Lord, only you can correct that over there. Straighten that out. Drive back the enemy. May they dig a ditch and fall in it themselves. May you work with these people. Bring the people back home and give them the freedom that we enjoy in our country. Let them have the democracy, the privilege to vote, the privilege to choose. And Father, we pray for their safety. We're thankful for this day. We're thankful for our family. We're thankful for this time to be together. And we're thankful for you, Lord Jesus, our Savior. And as we bow before you, we want to humble at your feet. And we want our worship, we want our praise to be daily. And we want it to be where people can see you in us. We want to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And we want to be what you want us to be. Because, Father, we believe that it won't be long before you'll nod and Jesus will leave and come and pick us up and take us home. And we can be forever in your house that you provided for us. Help us to tell that to people so that they don't get left behind, that they go with us and we all spend eternity together worshiping the Lord Jesus, praising his name, and thanking him for what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for this day. We praise you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I am reborn.